Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, may the healing words of your gospel message reach into our hearts and lives and cause us to grow in you as you grow in us. We thank you so much for your grace, your love, and your forgiveness. May we celebrate that every day as we seek to practice your love. In Jesus' name, amen. True love gives. That's what our devotion for today says. And perhaps giving is one of the most hardest things that we as Christians do, that we as people do. Giving doesn't come to us naturally. Giving is hard. It's against our nature to be people who are givers. Think about the rich man whom Jesus called to follow him. Do you remember that story? And the rich man came and he was excited and he wanted to follow Jesus and said, "What must I do to follow you?" And do you remember Jesus' answer to the rich man? What did he tell him? Go and sell everything and give it to the poor and the needy and then come follow me. And what does the scripture say? What did the rich man do? He walked away sad because he loved his possessions. If you have a child, you realize that children from birth, maybe not directly from birth, but as they get close to being 1 year old, are greedy. After all, do you have to teach your children how to say no to you? No. One of the first words I've noticed that we as children, I include myself in there, learn to say to our mom and dad or any person in authority is, no, I'm not going to do that. No. And so we by nature, from our core, tend to be selfish. It's against our sinful nature to be giving and generous. It's against our sinful nature because our sinful nature wants to cling to the things and the ways and the actions of this world. Because the things and the ways and the actions of this world, notice I'm not just talking about money and possessions, are near and dear to us. Having our own way, having it the way we think it should be, being mad when we want to be mad, being upset when we want to be upset. All of these things are selfishness and greed because it holds back from us giving love, which God commands us to give. And we're going to talk more about that in this message. So what I want to make clear from the beginning is this message isn't all about giving money. And I hope that you hear that because so many churches preach about that. Give your money, give your money, give your money. I don't care about your money. That's not what we're talking about. And as you'll learn, Jesus is talking about more than that too when he talks about the fact that true love gives. And as we cling to the things of this world and the ways of this world, I've realized something in my life after 16 years and doing funerals. I've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul behind it. If you have, please tell me about that because I would like to know that experience. You see, Jesus clearly calls us to be like him. Jesus calls us to be perfect like him. That is the demand and the command he puts on our life. He wants us to be perfect. The reality is we fail at being perfect. We fail miserably at being perfect. My goodness, most of the time we fail at being good. At least I do. I'm very good at not being good. I'm very good at making mistakes. I'm very good at hurting people's feelings. I'm very good at being selfish. And I think all of us fall into that same camp because that is our sinful nature. Thank God that he has given us the power of his Holy Spirit, which works in word and in sacrament, and leads us to this thing we talk about a lot as Lutherans, which is called sanctification. The process of becoming holy. The process of becoming more like Jesus. The process of becoming perfect. And as we know, we will never achieve perfect status in this world, right? When do we finally achieve perfection? In heaven. Now, I know some of you out there are very close to perfect, and I appreciate that, but we never really achieve that until we get to heaven. People are raising hands right now. Yes, right, yes. I see that. We are called to hate the things of this world and the ways of this world, but so often it's hard to do, right? You know, one of the things I've quit doing is watching the news, because when I watch the news, it makes me more bitter. Bitterness is not the way of this world, is it? Does bitterness solve problems? Does holding grudges or being angry solve problems? Does being selfish or whatever else might fit into this category solve problems? Does hoarding money and keeping the possessions of ourself and our lives to ourselves, does that solve problems? No. The ways and the things of this world create disaster. The ways and the things of this world create chaos. The ways and the things of this world create division. The ways and the things of this world seek to divide God's people, divide God's church, and divide the kingdom. And the reason that is because Satan wants it that way. Because the more we follow the ways and things of this world, the more we put those things as top priority in our life, the less the kingdom of God grows and advances, because we become so self-centeredly focused on our own lives, we lose the focus on growing the kingdom and reaching those who don't know Jesus. And that's the reality of what Satan does. And when we fail to practice this perfection, this love that God calls us to do, when we grasp at the things and the ways of this world, this is what happens. Because Jesus calls us to love the way he loves. To love the world the way he loves. And that's a very important statement for us, because we want to really dive in to look at, how does Jesus love? Well, it's impossible. I can't love like that. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. I can't love like Jesus. There are people I just flat out don't like. But I still have to love them, and I don't like that. It's hard to love like Jesus. But the reality is, this is what Scripture calls us to do. The call of Christianity is that we give up our lives, that we give up everything to surrender to Jesus. This is the call of the Christian life. And one of the things I appreciate about programs like Alcoholics Anonymous and 12-step programs is they get this idea of surrender. You know, I thought about doing a series sometime on these 12 steps, because they're very powerful, really. Because the idea of Christianity and what really God is calling us to do is to surrender our lives to him. To surrender everything we have, everything we are, to surrender our worries, our doubts, our fears, our concerns, our burdens, our grudges, our bitterness, to surrender all of that to him, to place it at the foot of the cross and to say, you know what? I'm choosing, Jesus, not to hold on to this. And I'm asking you, Jesus, to work your love in me so that I may be a person of love. This is the process of sanctification. But it does take work on our part. It takes hard work on our part, because it's so easy to cling to the things of this world and the ways of this world. You see, the reality is, this means that we surrender to Jesus all that we are and all that we have. We surrender to Jesus all that we are and all that we have. And the same goes for the church too. I had a very good friend. His name was Dave Belasic. He was the president of the Eastern District for many years. And Dave Belasic is a wonderful, wonderful, brilliant theologian and practical theologian. And he used to go around speaking to churches all over the country. And he was also one of these guys that understood good stewardship, right? And this is what Dave Belasic would say. It's good for churches to prepare and to be prepared for things and to think things through and to have money and all of these things. But this is one thing he always said. I feel sorry for a church that has money in the bank when Jesus returns, because they've taken the treasure that God has given them and they've buried it. They've taken the treasure that God has given them and they've buried it. This is a real statement. So not only do we do this in our individual lives, churches do it too. And it's so easy to do that, because after all, Satan creates fear. He creates doubt, because we don't know what comes next. But we'll see in a minute, part of loving is trusting, which we talked about last week, and Satan sure did a lot to derail trusting with the burglar in our parking lot last week, right? But part of loving is trusting. But it just isn't about money either. Jesus wants us to give our whole life to him. He wants us to give our very being to him. It's taking risks and trusting God. You see, that's what faith is all about, right? Faith is believing in things that we don't see and hoping for things that we are certain about. That's what faith really is. Hebrews 11:1 talks about it. Faith is stepping out and saying, I'm willing to take a risk in Jesus because I believe that Jesus can do good things. I believe Jesus will work things out to his glory and to my benefit. I believe Jesus will take the mess of this humanity and make it something that is glorious, to save lives, to save hearts and souls, to heal me, to bind me up, and to heal those around me, and to bind them up too. That's what faith is, right? Do we understand that God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh? No. A lot of churches disagree with that these days. But by faith, if God says it, I'm going to believe it because, well, I believe God, right? And the whole list can keep going on and on. There are churches that believe the story of Jonah isn't real, that it was a fable or a story that was made up. I believe that if God sent Jonah to Nineveh and he refused to, that a big fish swallowed Jonah and vomited him up on dry land. That's what the Hebrew says. I love that so much better than just throwing him up there. Vomiting him up on dry land. I believe that. Sure, that could have happened, because this is God we're talking about. That's what faith is, right? It clings to the promises of God. So God wants our faith, and this is part of giving up this world and living in faith. The other thing that is part of giving up the ways of this world is living in kindness, compassion, love, and forgiveness. And as Peter said in our lesson for today, controlling our tongues. As St. James says, which we've talked about a few weeks ago, our tongues are the most dangerous thing in all the world. They're the deadliest weapon known to man. We murder each other more than we realize it with these things called our tongues. I'm guilty of it, and I bet you're guilty of it too. But giving up the ways of this world, we're called to live in compassion and love and generosity and forgiveness with controlled tongue. Now, here's what I'm not saying. Don't hear me saying this. What I'm saying, don't hear me say that I'm saying don't be wise in this world. Jesus says this, be as wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. That's crucial. So let me say this. We are called to live in this world. That's the reality. We have to live here. We don't have a choice, at least for this time being, right? It's wise to manage our monies and our properties well. If God has entrusted you those gifts, manage them well. Manage them well and take care of them and use them for His glory. It's wise to plan for retirement and for rainy days. That's why we have CEF and Franklin in our congregation. You can pay me for that later, Frank, okay? It's a little advertisement for you. But that's why we have him, right? We have organizations like this because it is wise for us to plan for that. It's not a bad idea. It's wise for us to set healthy boundaries in our lives to protect ourselves. If there are people that have hurt us, if there are people that have upset us, if there are people in our past or whatever is going on in our lives, boundaries are a good thing. Boundaries are established in the Bible. We talked about this last week with Jacob and Esau. They didn't trust each other. They didn't like each other. They loved each other, but they set a boundary. Hey, we're not going to be in the same place at the same time. We just can't. It's okay to have boundaries, to protect yourself. That's a good thing. And it's wise to take care of our health and our mental health. Because if we're talking about giving everything to God, our body is also a gift from God. Would you not agree? If I'm not taking care of my health and I'm not taking care of my mental health, any of us, then we're not truly taking care and being good stewards of our body. And that's why we're blessed to have a parish nurse in our congregation who can help us learn more how to do that. And we're very blessed to have that in our ministry. But we do all of this with the specific intent of realizing that we all have the gift from God and all of our gifts really belong to Him. He loans them to us. He gives them to us for just a short time. Think about this life. It's a blip on the radar screen, really, of eternity. But He loans them to us to use for His glory in this world. We are called upon to use the gifts that He entrusts to us for His glory and for His purposes. And what God says is He will bless us and reward us for using our gifts for Him. Let me tell you a true story. Back when I was in the seminary, right after Stephanie and I got married, I had all these health problems that came at once. Really, I'm not going to tell you about all of them. They're really weird. My advanced class, the women's study, knows about all of them, and we laugh about them all the time. But anyways, all these things happened. And one Sunday we were in church, and literally, you know, Steph was the only one earning income at that time, and so she was the breadwinner of the family because I was studying in the seminary. And we put pretty much our last amount of money in the offering plate, not knowing what was going to happen. 2 days later, so up in front of our door, and nobody was there, we opened the door, and there's all these groceries, and there was a very large check from the Lutheran Women's Missionary League in that bag of groceries. You see, God says when we use our time and our talents and our treasures for Him, He will bless it. He rewards it. By faith, we cling to that promise, right? By faith, if we trust God in that promise, we are led more to use our time and our talents and our treasures for the kingdom. And God does reward it. I've seen it happen in my life and in the lives of countless others. Many of you probably have similar stories in your life on how God is faithful and keeps His promises. Being a disciple of Jesus means loving Him and loving people more than this world. Here's what we need to get. Perhaps more than using our time, talents, and treasures is this. Being a disciple of Jesus means loving Him and loving people more than this world or ourselves. But we get so wrapped up in loving ourselves, so wrapped up in loving our possessions, so wrapped up in loving the things of this world that we forget the call of Jesus. That true love means loving Jesus and His people more than we do our possessions, our goods, and ourselves. That is the call of Christianity because true love gives. God gives us true love in Jesus. Think about it for a second, right? Think about this. God literally gave up everything he had so that you and I could live with him for eternity. He literally did. He gave it all up. He gave up his only begotten loved son so that you and I can live eternally. He sent Jesus into this world to live for us so that we might be credited with his perfect righteousness. He sent Jesus into this world to die and to rise for us so that as we live today in light of that death and resurrection of Jesus, we are healed, we are mended, we are bound up, we are restored, our wounds are put back together, our brokenness and our broken lives are put back together piece by piece, our sins are forgiven, our shame is wiped away, our sins are remembered no more, God does away with our guilt, he comes into our life with his love, and he wraps his arms around us, even in the brokenness and messiness of our life, even in the hard times and the trials and the tribulations, even in the mourning and the hurts and the brokenness, even in the times where we don't get along, even in the times where there's bitterness and arguments and lack of forgiveness, Jesus still comes into our lives with the most perfect, powerful love that we cannot understand, but we accept by faith to heal, to restore, to mend, to put us back together, and to set us on track for eternal salvation. We don't deserve it, but he does it because he loves us. He does it because we mean more to him than anything else in creation. He does it because we mean more to them than his own son. He does it because he wants us to be with him forever. He does it because God is love. God is true love. And it's when that gospel message seeps into our wounded hearts and lives that we start to see clearly that loving this world means nothing. But loving Jesus, who loves us, and loving each other, and loving those who are outside of our walls, truly advances the kingdom and changes hearts and lives and souls. True love gives, and God gave all so that we might be truly loved. Practicing love means truly giving of our time, our talents, and our treasures. This is the Christian life. Forgive me for not memorizing this story, but I didn't want to mess it up because it's one of my favorite stories. So I want to share a story with you right now. Is that okay? So sit back, relax. I'm going to read a story to you. I don't have pictures to show you, but that's okay. It's called An Hour of Time. A man came home from work late again, tired and irritated, to find his 5-year-old son waiting for him at the door. "Daddy, may I ask you a question?" "Yeah, sure, what? What is it?" replied the man. "Daddy, how much money do you make an hour?" "That's none of your business." "What makes you ask such a thing?" the man said angrily. "I just wanted to know, Daddy. Please tell me, how much do you make an hour?" pleaded the little boy. "If you must know, I make $20 an hour." "Oh," the little boy replied. He had bowed. Looking up, he said, "Daddy, may I borrow $10, please?" The father was furious. If only the reason you wanted to know how much money I make in an hour is just so that you can borrow some to buy a silly toy or some other nonsense, then march yourself straight up to your room. You don't need more toys. Go play with the ones you already have. I work long, hard hours every day, and I don't have time for this. I'm tired. Leave me alone. The little boy quietly went up to his room and shut the door. The man sat down and started to get even madder about it. The little boy's questioning, how dare he ask such questions, only to get some money? After an hour or so, the man calmed down, and he started to think about how he may have been too hard on his little son. Maybe there was something he really needed to buy with that $10, and he really didn't ask for the money very often. The man went to the door of the little boy's room and opened the door. His son was lying on the bed. "Are you asleep, son?" he asked. "No, Daddy, I'm awake," replied the boy. "I've been thinking. Maybe I was too hard on you earlier," said the man. "It's been a long day, and I took my aggravation out on you. Here's the $10 you asked for." The little boy sat straight up, beaming in his bed. "Oh, thank you, Daddy," he yelled. Then reaching under his pillow, he pulled out some more crumpled bills. The man, seeing that the boy already had money, started to get angry again. The little boy slowly counted out his money, then looked up at the man. "Why did you want money if you already had some?" the father grumbled. "Because I didn't have enough, but now I do," the little boy replied. Daddy, I have $20 now. Can I buy an hour of your time? You see, practicing love means truly giving of our time, our talents, and our treasures. In the name of Jesus, amen.